Your family members may shun you because you have AIDS or HIV, but God will receive you. Your boss may forsake you and not give you that promotion, but God will receive you. Your parents may chase you away from home because of your faith in Christ, but God will receive you. Your community may make fun of you because you are a person of integrity, committed to Christ, but God will receive you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today as we continue our walk through the Psalms with the first half of Life Comes at You Fast, Part 3, from Psalms 27. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Life Comes at You Fast, Part 3.
You can open your Bibles to the 27th Psalm, Psalm 27. And in the 27th Psalm, we've been looking at this whole idea that life comes at you fast. And as we read the Psalms, we see that some of the Psalms have what we call superscriptions. And those superscriptions are little introductions to the individual Psalm. Psalm 51 is one such Psalm that we saw that had an introduction to it, where it introduced the psalm as being written on the basis of David's great sin with Bathsheba. Well, as we read the 27th Psalm, we don't see a superscription there. There's no introductory historical background to this particular psalm, but we can think about the life of David and realize that life came at David fast on many occasions. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about when he sat and played for Saul, and how that he ministered to Saul in music. And as he looked up, there was a javelin coming at him. And we see that life came at him fast. The rebellion of his son Absalom, and how that Absalom wanted to take over the kingdom. And David, no doubt, thought about the fact that life came at him fast. Even when he found himself caught up in sin, going out at a time when kings went to war, David went out and looked over his balcony and saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And no doubt he thought about the fact that life comes at you fast. And the occasion when him and his men went to Ziklag and they had a battle, and they found themselves victorious in the battle. But then when they came back to their hometown, they found that the Amalekites had taken their families and burned the city. And so here was David leaving a great victory. And then some of y'all have been there. Some of y'all have been to that place where you've had a great victory. And then you come back and only find that devastation awaits you. Life comes at you fast. And not only that, but the scripture says that David went into a state of needing to encourage himself because his soldiers, his men, they sought to kill him. They sought to stone him. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I don't know where you're at, but life comes at you fast. Maybe there were some twists and turns this week that your life took, that you had some things, unexpected things come up in your life that you weren't ready for. Life comes at you fast. We've been talking about those nationwide commercials and how that the whole objective is that whenever life comes at you fast and you don't know what's around the corner, you don't know what's coming, when life comes at you fast, it's good to know that God is on your side. And that's what the 27th Psalm is all about. It's good to know that God is on your side, not nationwide, but God is on your side when life comes at you fast. Amen. As we review, just to bring us up to where we are today, the first thing that we talked about, life comes at you fast. And that's seen from the standpoint that we talked about the reality that life comes at you fast. This thing is real. You remember David said here in Psalm 27, even when my enemies and my foes came upon me, what did they come to do? They came to eat my flesh.
They came to destroy me. And all of a sudden, before I knew anything, life was in my lap. And so the reality is that life comes at you fast. And next we saw not only, but there's a refuge when life comes at you fast. There's a refuge when life comes at you fast. And we saw, first of all, the person of that refuge. All right, Brother Jesse, the person of that refuge. We see, number one, God is my light. The Lord is my light. That we travel in darkness sometimes, and it's good to know that God is our light. We saw that the Lord is my salvation. That means not salvation in the New Testament sense, but salvation from the standpoint that God is a deliverer, that he delivers us. The Lord is the strength of my life, that he is the person of refuge. When life comes at you fast, it's good to know that you got a place to hide, that God is your light, your salvation, and the strength of your life. And then the second thing we saw was the position of the refuge, the position. And under the position, we saw that we will be hid in the Lord's pavilion. Remember, we talked about that idea of the army and how that in the center of the army was a pavilion where the generals met to strategize, and that nobody could get to that. That was almost impenetrable. You couldn't get to that pavilion. God told David that he would hide him in his pavilion, that when life came at him fast, he would be hid in his pavilion. We see that he would be hid in the secret of the Lord's tabernacle. Nobody could go into the tabernacle except the priest, and that was once a year. God said, I'm going to put you somewhere where people can't come. They can't get to you. And if by any chance they happen to get there, he said, I'm going to hide you in a secret place so they still won't be able to find you. And then he says that he was setting upon a rock. The reality that life comes at you fast, the refuge when life comes at you fast, and then we have the resolutions when life comes at you fast. Resolution number one, when life comes at you fast, resolved to study the beauty of God, to look at God's beauty. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David said when life came at him fast that he was going to behold the beauty of the Lord. Resolve, the second resolution that he made, resolve that he would sing God's praises, that in the midst of life coming at him fast, life was not going to steal his song. The third thing that David resolved is he said, resolved, I'm going to seek God's face. The psalmist said, Lord, when you said unto me, seek my face, God, the psalmist said, God, thy face will I seek. He said, in the midst of life coming at me fast, he said that I'm going to pursue the face of God. And then the fourth resolve that David made is resolve to surrender to God's timing. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, that when life comes at you fast, that you got to wait on the Lord. And this brings us to this point this morning, which is our next point, and that is the request. The request when life comes at you fast. And the first request that we have when life comes at you fast. This is good right here in verse 7. The first request when life comes at you fast. Look what he says in verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. How many people know that when a situation is right in your lap, a situation that you didn't plan for, circumstances that you never saw it coming? You know, it's just like I said a couple of weeks ago. Have you ever had those what just happened here moments? What just happened here? Everything was all right. I was fellowshipping with the saints. You know, we were all right, and all of a sudden this thing just went sour. It went south. I was just skipping along through life in a merry way. I just enjoy myself having a good old time in life. What just happened here? Have you ever had those moments when something was in your lap, unexpected, that you didn't plan for, but you found yourself facing it? What is one request that you need to have in your repertoire? One request that you need to have ready to go, and that is, Lord, hear me. You know, sometimes I don't have time to get down and pray, oh, thou great God of the universe, Thou who art from everlasting past to everlasting future, you have ordained the stars and the moon, and by your hand they were. I don't have time to pray all that stuff. Sometime when life comes at you fast, it's right in your lap, and sometime the only thing you can pray is, Lord, hear me. Peter, as he began to walk on water, and he was walking on water, and all of a sudden something distracted him, and he took his eyes off of Jesus. And the scripture says that he began to sink. And Peter didn't go into some great discourse. He didn't start quoting the Psalms. He didn't start quoting the Jewish Midrash and all these other readings. He had one thing that he said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And you know one thing that lets us know? That whenever a crisis comes our way, that we should already have conditioned our heart in our automatic response and our automatic cry is, God, help me. Lord, help me. But the problem sometimes with God's people is that we've conditioned ourselves to reach in other areas, and we don't reach to the Lord. Man, you know, like the Nationwide commercial, maybe you find yourself in an accident. The first thing you start doing is looking for your insurance card so you can call your insurance adjuster. Man, the first thing that the child of God should do when life comes at him is that there ought to be a natural response. It ought to be second nature to you that you're calling on God, that you're calling on. I don't care where you are. You may be in the middle of a busy highway, but somehow you're calling on God. And you know what? When you call on God, God is quicker than quick. He'll be there before you can get it out. I remember I was driving up Penn Avenue about 10 years ago and was driving up across Graham Boulevard, and there was an accident that had been moved off to the side, and there was a lady coming in the other direction, and I saw her coming, and she was looking at the accident, rubbernecking. She wasn't even looking where she was driving, and she was turning on the Graham Boulevard, and I was coming through the intersection, and she came and ran into me head on. Saints, they talk about see your life going before your eyes. I saw it. And all of a sudden, I just started going because I didn't have my seatbelt on. Bad lesson, bad testimony. Wear your seatbelts, all right? Wear your seatbelts. So I'm saying that. And I saw myself going through the window head first. And all of a sudden, the airbag exploded and caught me and knocked me back. Saved me from going through that window. As quick as that airbag was in that accident, that's how quick God is there. You find yourself with a situation where life is right at your doorstep. And it's right in front of you, and you see yourself being plunged into it. It's good to know that, Lord, help me, and he's right there. That you don't have to get down and dial the prefix and the phone number and then wait and have 10 messages. Press 1 if you are in an accident, press 2. If you got a prayer request, press 3. If you got food need, press 4. If your child left home, you don't have to. You don't have to push all those buttons. God is right there. And the psalmist said, Lord, hear me. The request. The second request that we see when life comes at you fast is, Lord, receive me. Lord, receive me. Look what he says in verses 9 and 10. Actually, we could go back to verse 8. When thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The request for this reception. The psalmist said, Lord, when life comes at me fast, I need you to receive me. Look at the request. It's first of all a present request. Hide not thy face from me, nor put thy servant away in thy anger. You know what? Wouldn't it be a tragedy? Can you imagine a little child? I know my grandson yesterday. He must have hit his hand or something on a bike or on the wall. And you know how kids are. Grandma got him spoiled, and he want grandma to kiss it and all this and that, you know. And so he came over to me, you know, like he wanted me to kiss it. I said, no, look, this is the kind of magic I'm going to work on you, bro. I drew a circle on his hand like that, and I went, and he was like, you know, it's all better. He was all happy and stuff. But what was he seeking? He was seeking some help. He was seeking a refuge. Now, what if he came to my wife or myself and we did one of these numbers? He would have been hurt. Isn't it good to know that when life comes at you fast, God says, seek my face. The psalmist said, Lord, when I seek your face, don't hide from me. God, somebody hear me this morning. You've been in trouble and you called on God face to face and God was right there. And isn't it a blessing to know that he didn't turn his back on you? Isn't it good to know that you could say, Lord, when you said, seek my face, that I sought your face, Lord, and you didn't hide from me. How dark would our world be if we sought the face of God and God turned away from us? It's always good to know that when we hold our little boo-boos out to God, that God will kiss them every time and that he'll not turn away from us. Hide not thy face from me. The psalmist has a present request here. He has not only a present request, but he has a past reflection. He says, thou hast been my help. Look at verse 9. Hide not thy face from me, nor put away thy servant in anger. Thou hast been my help. Man, you know, whenever you find yourself in a troubling situation, you know what you ought to think back? You ought to think back to all the times that God brought you out of some mess. You ought to think back to all the times when you were in dire straits and God brought you through. And let that be the basis of encouragement for you to trust God in the future. You know, you can look back and see what God has done in the past. So I like the song that says, God who has been our help in ages past. Somebody here got a testimony about how God has helped you in the past. And you ought to recall that help. You ought to recall those testimonies when God brought you through. A present request, a past reflection, and then a future request. He says, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. You get his heart here? He wants the Lord to receive him. He doesn't want in any way for God to reject him. He said, Lord, in the present, receive me like you received me in the past so that I can trust you to receive me in the future. Man, it's good to know that we are not rejected by God. You know, people growing up in homes where they're rejected by parents, they're rejected by others. It's good to know that God will not reject you. And notice what he has here, the ultimate state of desertion. Man, what is the ultimate state of desertion? It's found in verse 10. The ultimate state of desertion. When my father and my mother forsake me. Man, what worse desertion can there be than if a mother or father forsakes an individual? Now, if you notice in your notes there, David is not saying that his own father and mother forsook him. He is using this as a figure of speech to represent times in life when we feel deep rejection by those who are closest to us. Your husband or your wife may run off for some little young thing, but the Lord will receive you. Your friends may abandon you when you lose everything, but the Lord will receive you. Your family members may shun you because you have AIDS or HIV, but God will receive you. Your boss may forsake you and not give you that promotion, but God will receive you. Your parents may chase you away from home because of your faith in Christ, but God will receive you. Your community may make fun of you because you are a person of integrity, committed to Christ, but God will receive you. Your fiance may leave you because you refuse to fornicate, but God will receive you. And at times when you feel most forsaken, at times when you feel most discouraged and all alone, forsaken by others, God will receive you. Dr. L. Reichman, Jewish rabbi, who's spoken to us many occasions, said that when he received Christ, that his father wrote him off as a dead man. His father wrote him off. Dr. Ergen Kanner, a dean of Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary, a Muslim, grew up in a Muslim home, received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. When he received Christ, his own father put out a death threat on him. When father and mother forsake me, when your most intimate relationships seem to have fallen apart, David said, it's good to know that the Lord will take me in. And this whole idea, notice the phrase there, what they say, take me in. David pictures himself as a wanderer, looking for a place to lay his head. David pictures himself as a wanderer in a strange land, just wandering around from place to place, being rejected, knocking on doors, being rejected, knocking on doors, being rejected, knocking on doors, being rejected. And when you have been rejected by all others, it's good to know that God will take you in. What a blessing, my brothers and sisters, to know that God will take you in. Listen to this quote by Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He says this. He says, these dear relations may be the last to desert you. Listen to this. If the milk of human kindness should dry up even from the breast, there is a God who never forgets. The greatest of saints have been cast out by their families and persecuted for righteousness' sake. The Lord will take them in. The Lord will take my cause. The Lord will lift me up against my foes. The Lord will carry me in his arms. The Lord will elevate me above my enemies, and at last will receive me into my eternal dwelling place. When everybody else forsakes you, it's good to know that God will not leave you. Request, request. Lord, hear me. Lord, receive me. Lord, lead me. Lord, lead me. Look what he says in verse 11. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. David asked the Lord to teach him his ways. This word way comes from the Hebrew word derech, and it means a way of life, a way of life that you are traveling. The psalmist said, you know, Lord, don't let me go in my way of life. Don't let me do things the way that I want to do them. But Lord, teach me your way of life. Man, so many people are hitting their head against brick walls because you're trying to go down a way that's not the way that God wants you to go. And you know the sad thing about that way is that your enemies already know that way. They already know it. And so they're out there waiting.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Life Comes at You Fast, Part 3. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Life Comes at You Fast, Part 3, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Life Comes at You Fast. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Life Comes at You Fast, Part 3, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org. Or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Myrna Patterson, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.